A lot of folks have been praying for John Entwreiner and his wife Peg. And, you know, Peg was so ill for about 7 months, and she passed away this week. So please keep John in your prayer and his family. It's a hard goodbye after that long fight that, you know, there were signs that Peg would occasionally get better, but too many heart attacks, too many strokes for her to overcome. So pray for his encouragement and stay in touch with John. He'll really appreciate that. And also for April Meyer and her family and the passing of April's grandma, a blessing to their life. And Patterson family, Hargraves family also, in a good relative of yours who followed the Lord so well. There's two opportunities for offerings coming up, coming to a close. One's the Shoebox Ministry. Boy, great ministry, giving gifts of the gospel to children through Samaritan's Purse. I think that finishes up next Sunday. And then Toys for Tots, if you think of the Marines and think of little ones, you know, a toy for those little ones, they'll appreciate that and remind them of the Lord's love at that point. So those two things are coming to an end real fast here. And don't forget praying for the turkey giveaway, that God would allow us to build relationships with people through that time. Pretty exciting time ahead there. In writing the story of a person's life, one of the temptations you and I would have is to gloss over and not mention the sins and faults of people that we know, perhaps even in our own life. And if I were to show you a photo album of one of my friends, let's say, here's my buddy Joe, and here's Joe in a suit, you know, his best suit. Here's Joe in a tuxedo. Here's Joe in his best sweater. Here's Joe at church. Here's Joe in prayer at home. That's Joe, you know, sum total of his life. You'd say, oh, wait a minute, you know, is there more to Joe than that? That's important. But does Joe meet the Lord in other times also? And so the Bible doesn't make that a mistake of glossing over sins and faults or hide or make excuses for some of the heroes of the faith that are great to follow God much of their lives, but also fall down like you and I. And to find God when we fall down is as equally important, if not more so, than when we're on the mountaintop. Someone said, you'll meet God when you fall down. You'll meet him when he picks you up and gives you that strength, as the song we heard mentions. Well, that's what the Bible does with Elijah, great hero of the faith. And of all the prophets in the Old Testament who didn't write a book, he's probably one of the ones that are most well known. In the New Testament, when God wanted to encourage Jesus himself, he was heading toward the cross, he was on a mountain, and kind of a prayer time, a worship time, the Lord sent from heaven Moses and Elijah. So what a, you know, wonderful ministry to have some fellowship with Jesus during his earthly ministry. Elijah was sent to do that. When you look at most of his life, you think, Elijah, if I could just be like him, man of faith, man of prayer, man of victory, and almost like a super prophet. He had a contest with some false prophets of Baal. Baal was a false god. And he stood against 450 of them. And you could picture, you know, just the emotional opportunity that he had there to turn to God and say, God, show yourself to be God in this situation. Just to get the picture, you know, multiply the number of people in the sanctuary three times. And let's say all of us were praying to some false god and really, you know, making a lot of noise and doing it with our whole heart. And then there's one little guy, let's say Dave there, or Frank, or Harold, you know, they're Elijah. And they pray to God. And God, the truth wins out through that one. And at the end, everybody says, well, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. God is honored by Elijah's trust. That's chapter 18 of 1 Kings. Chapter 19, about one paragraph later, we see a different Elijah. Now, it's the same one, but different things going on in his soul. He's running for his life. like a cowardly lion, a scared rabbit. And he's doing that at the threat of one person. So sometimes in your life and my life, big tests, we see God come through to us, for us. And other times when it's just, boy, here's something that I should be able to overcome. It's serious. My life is threatened here. But Elijah pretty much falls down in trusting God. He just can't bring himself to do it. And off he goes. Chapter 18, he's on the mountaintop. Chapter 19, he's in the valley. Your walk with God will be like that on a fairly regular basis. You'll have some plateau days also where God will nourish you. Call them peanut butter and jelly days spiritually. You know, we're just eating the peanut butter and jelly. We're getting stronger just a little bit at a time. It's not the super buffet that some of us want all the time. Some of us go there too much. And after a while, it doesn't really do us any good. But it's Elijah's on the mountaintop. God delivers. Elijah's really down. And God goes to meet him there. If you read through the prayer book of the Bible, which is the Psalms, you're going to see a lot of wins and losses for God's people. And if you were to read through them, as many praises and thanks to God as you'll find also about an equal number of trials and difficulties and, oh Lord, help me kind of prayers. And so if your prayer life is like that, you're fitting in with the Bible. And that's an accurate picture of life with God. Days of great praise, days of lament, and the in-between days that God provides. Psalm 107 shows life like a journey on a ship. And some of you folks have been on ships, some of you Navy guys served on ships. And in Psalm 107, verse 26, it says, they mounted up to the heavens. Just that feeling of the wind at your back and everything's smooth, and maybe you're on the top of the waves. And then it goes on to say, and they went down to the depths, and in their peril, their courage melted away. Sometimes we're not going to have the courage God wants us to have. But God will still be God. And He'll meet us and walk with us. So you see, Elijah with strong faith, Elijah with weak faith, and God with faithfulness in both experiences. You see that also in another Old Testament character, Noah, pretty readily. God uses Noah to save his family, save the human race, save the animal kingdom. And Noah's a faithful guy, working away probably 80 years on a boat. You know, no rain, no rain in sight. What are you doing, Noah? I'm doing what God wants me to do. Picture of steadiness. The rain comes, God rescues his family. Two chapters later, Noah's drunk, out of his mind, laying in his house naked, okay? Embarrasses himself, embarrasses his family. Way to go, Noah. You know, we're not going to put that in the children's lesson in kindergarten there. That's an adult lesson, okay? And is your life like that a bit? Would you be able to fit in the Bible like Elijah and Noah and see God touch your life in your obedience and when you fall down? I'd have a feeling a lot of us probably had some falling down times this past month or so, or maybe this past week, maybe even yesterday or today before you came to worship and you huddled by Jesus and maybe you start to wonder, you know, should I even be here? God invites you and you said yes, it was a great thing. And so some sin that might have tripped you up or some sin of other people that might have tripped you up, it's going to bring you on those down times and you might be able to fit in the Bible there and let God tell your story. A.W. Pink, who was a Bible teacher, had a great quote. He said, I think he took it from somebody else, the first line, the best of men are men at best. We should know that about ourselves. We should know that about the heroes of the faith. The best of men are men at best. Let God's sustaining help be taken away from a person for a moment, and that person is going to fall flat on their face. We should know that about God. We should know that about our own souls. He goes on to write, the strongest Christian, if left to himself, will be as weak as water and as timid as a mouse. Maybe it happened to you. Maybe it happened to me. It did happen to Elijah and to Noah. After running away, Elijah said in fear, you know, he just didn't run away. He said to God, I've had enough. And he prays to die. Okay, now I think some in the fellowship have faced problems that were so difficult that we actually, you know, you might have actually prayed to die at times, whether you're in physical pain or loss because of a loved one not being there. I was thinking the trials I've been through, I've been down and, you know, no trials and depression. And the only time I think I ever prayed to die, though, was when I was seasick. I was a little child, and it was like going to be a 3 or 4 hour trip, and I got seasick within the first 5 minutes. So it was like an eternity to go. Please, just let me die. I wanted to jump over, and that was it. But can you picture that happening in your soul? You know, so sick in your soul, you just want to die. That's Elijah. And God comes to Elijah, and he pretty much says, Elijah, I can help you. Because you can't handle this. Okay. That's some good news if you ever hear God say that. You can't handle this. I'm going to help you. And so when you think of yourself, don't expect too much of yourself. Don't expect too much of others. Glance across the pew. What? Are they taking communion? You know. Well, Elijah needed close with the Lord. And Noah did, and you do, and your brother and sister in Christ do. God ministers to Elijah when Elijah wants to die. He helps him out, and meets him a number of times, gives him some food. God's real basic in his love sometimes. It wasn't even peanut butter and jelly. It was something below that in terms of taste. Just eat this, you know, and have some fluid. He tells Elijah a little bit later in the story. You got to read the story. He says, "This, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." Okay. Did you know that the Christian life is too much for you and for me? It really is. I mean, we're trying to follow the King of Kings with his help, you know, fall behind pretty quick without his grace and mercy. And God says to us, life is too much for you, and so is death, by the way. That's too much for you. But I can give you life. I can help you think of life instead of death and eternal life if you admit your need. To admit your need to God. What a thing Elijah did. That was a good thing. In one of J.R.R. Tolkien's books, Lord of the Rings, the Hobbit stands at the city gate. This is kind of toward the climax of the story. And the evil leader is coming to take over the city. So everybody's going to get wiped out. The Hobbit's going to get wiped out. And then there's just, you know, this is the end. Somebody, almost like Elijah, maybe Noah when he woke up. And in the distance, there's some horns that can be heard by the Hobbit. What does the horns mean? You know, there's some kind of celebration, some kind of charge happening over there. And the king rides to the city gate to meet the evil one and does battle on behalf of the city. And the king saves the city, but loses his life in the process. And he says, I'm going to do this for you all, for this city. And one of the lines said, every time the Hobbit heard the sound of horns from that day on, he couldn't help hearing that without bursting into tears. Because it really meant so much to him. It got to his heart and emotions. God would save me.
when there was nobody else that could do it, and I couldn't do it myself. And so he's reawakened to the memory of his salvation, saying, I remember my King. I remember the one who died and rescued me. You know, our sins and our faults are very heavy. Heavy on Elijah. We look at the pages, dirt, mud, faults. Oh, here he is with his broken arm, broken faith. And he found God there. See, God was with Elijah when he says, I can't do this. And God comes to you there too. And he says to you, this journey is too hard for you. Come and follow me. And God will save you when you have those mountaintop days and next week to look at success and how it could trip us up with Elijah. But God will also lift us up and help us in the days of defeat and the days of apparent no energy for the Lord. God's not tired. He's ready to go with his people. He'll give a victory in your life, and you'll be glad to surrender to him.